This is Sylvia Chalala from the Oral History Summer School, here with Jean Cobb, who's the director of the Early Childhood
Hudson Daycare Center.
Hudson Daycare Center in Hudson, New York. Today is June 18th, 2014. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Jean Cobb, and I'm director of the Hudson Daycare Center, and living in Hudson for many, many years. Mother of one daughter, grandmother of two children, and a busy person.
Great. Why don't you start telling me a little bit about yourself and where you came from and so on.
Okay. I originally came from St. Augustine, Florida. I came to Hudson, and I think in 1948. My mom lived in Philmont, New York, and so I came to live with my mom here in Hudson. I went to high school, Hudson, New York, at the old middle school now, but at the time when I came to Hudson, it was the high school. And I had a great time. I had a great childhood, teenagehood, I would say, in Hudson. Loads of kids, did simple things. You know, we went to the movies, which was really a big deal. We went ice skating. We were able to go to Oakdale to swim. Some of the boys used to swim in the Hudson River. Went to Lake Taconic. Lake Taconic was a very special outing for us, because we would go there on 4th of July, Memorial Day, during the summer. Some of the churches, you would have summer picnics, and so we would always go to the lake. And the lake was a great place to go, because you'd go early in the morning, and you would have breakfast there, and then you'd have lunch, and sometimes you'd have supper. You'd just spend the whole day going in and out of the water, or you would go hiking, mountain climbing. Hudson was a great place at the time when we were teenagers. We did also had the regular high school things that we did, you know, the dances, the basketball games, the rivalry between Hudson High and Catskill High, and all those kinds of things. We had special friends who were on the different teams, especially the boys, and we'd always make sure everybody was there to, you know, enjoy and cheer for their special person that they knew were really good in sports. There was always the football games, and there was always the, we did baseball too. Tennis, some of us did tennis, and some of us just did nothing but just go from place to place. That was our high school days. We had lots of fun. Very simple things, you know, to do, but things that we really enjoyed. And that's basically my high school here in Hudson. I was a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, and we had our own activities doing our church association too. You know, we had the choir, and then we'd have the junior ushers, and then we'd have a junior Bible school, and always being able to, we would have church picnics, and we would do go to other churches and associate with other young people during that time. And that was our summer too. As I said, I was only in Hudson maybe about 4 years. And after that, I graduated from high school, worked summers when I was in high school at the Hudson Knitting Mill. Yes. And Once I graduated from high school, I went to SUNY Cobleskill. And once I graduated from there, I went to Brooklyn, New York to live. And I lived in Brooklyn for years. Came back to Hudson. Then worked for a while in New York and came back to Hudson and started a new life, which was in 1962. What else can I tell you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you are part of a group of people that left Hudson and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me a little bit about those kinds of returning residents?
Oh, really? Well, there were a lot of my friends that are automatically were still here, and so it was like a family reunion again, you know. And most of my friends that I went to school with, or the ones that didn't go to school with but knew as part of the community, you know, a lot of them were still here. And so, you know, you just kind of regenerated old friendships. And so what you do is you talk about your old friendships, or you meet and go over different things and go to class reunions and meet each other on the street, or meet each other in the supermarkets, and kind of make dates to go visit and visit each other, decide, you know, if you're a member of a club or whatever, we kind of go together and maybe we want to do this and that and the other. So basically it's, you kind of just regenerate old friends and what have you, all them that has not, you know, passed away since then. But it's kind of like being home again, you know. Even though you go away for, say, 20 or 25 years, but you come back and the place is pretty much still the same. You know, you still feel very comfortable in your situation. In Hudson, you're just very comfortable. You know the streets. You know most of the people. You know all the places that you usually go to. And you can always meet a friend or an associate or somebody that you know. Or you do, since joining the daycare center, we have become part of families that we have known, you know, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and some of the children that come to the center as enrollees, and we recognize them or their families, and then you reminisce about all the old things and all the times and places and associations that you had as teenagers growing up in Hudson or as an adult and that kind of thing. So it's really been quite fun coming back. It's fun, you know, running the daycare center because a lot of the families we knew, and we knew the mothers and we knew the grandmothers. And so it makes it, we'll say to them, well, oh yeah, well, I know your mom. Well, how do you know my mom? Well, we blah, 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 blah. We went to school with them, or we were friends with them, or we, you know, we used to go fishing with them, or we used to go to the lake together and all those different things. So, you know, you still feel very, very comfortable, you know, being part of Hudson. That's it.
Okay. Do you... Can you talk a little bit about Hudson and how it has changed over time, if it has changed over time? You say it's always the same. So in what way?
It's the same only in buildings, streets. The culture is a little different. Yeah, Hudson has changed, and especially in the last 15 or 20 years. A lot of the places have been upgraded. A lot of the buildings have been renewed. A lot of the, you've got different people part of the city now, and the city government and all that kind of stuff. And that's the difference in it. And I think it's going to be to change a little more, because the whole outlook and the culture of the city is changing, because you have different people and coming into the city, you know, so that and people bring their own ideas in, and they and it changes. And I guess everything changes, you know, life changes, times changes, and that kind of thing. And who knows, you know, it's probably for the better. And we kind of go along with it. Hopefully it will be for the better, especially for young people, because that's very important, that young people can make Hudson a place to live. So that they feel comfortable and they don't have to go other places, can stay in Hudson and enjoy Hudson, and hopefully Hudson can offer things for them to entice them to stay and build their families here and enjoy it as much as I have. Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the people, you mentioned that new people are coming in.
Well, I think...
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think the new people who are coming in, there are a lot of the people who are coming from the city. And, of course, their outlook is totally different from Hudsonians, because we are, kind of slow thinking in a sense that we kind of nurture things and we are slow to make great changes, and our ideas are not as maybe cultural as some of the people who are coming in. And there's nothing wrong with the people who are coming in, because they're seeing things from their point of view and not from ours. And but it's going to, hopefully it will improve the city and do better things for us, and enlighten us too. That's it.
It's interesting that you talk about that and the changes in Hudson. I had never been here, so
okay,
this is wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, it's. It's different in that sense that, you know, as a teenager, we, everything was kind of like slow pace, you know, and we didn't have as many cars, we didn't have as many stores, and we kind of knew everybody. You knew everybody from Front Street up to 7th or 8th Street. Because on Warren Street, there were always your stores. This was your shopping area, especially for clothing, appliances, anything you wanted, a couple of grocery stores, you know. If it wasn't on Warren Street, it was on Union Street, because we used to have the Grand Union and the AMP and all those different kinds of stores, you know. And as a teenager, we also had soda shops. McKinstry's Drugstore used to have a place for the kids to go. That's where the kids used to go after school. And it had a soda fountain. So you'd go there and get a soda fountain and have great times, you know. And so that's all that's gone now. But, you know, other things have place that we used to have. Kresge's 5 and 10. That was also on Warren Street. And Warren Street was your shopping area for everything. We didn't have, what do you have now? Walmart and all those different kinds of, there were those kind, didn't have those kind of things, because actually we, you know, I guess we really didn't need them because we didn't know anything about those, you know. But our shopping area was basically Warren Street, and everybody knew where to go. You know, if you wanted the whatever you wanted, it was on Warren Street. You had your grocery stores, you had your clothing stores, you had your shoe stores, you had your pharmacy, you had your appliance stores, and you had your shoemakers, and you had your laundry mats, and you had your cleaners and everything. That was in one great store. And so you got used to that. You knew where everything was. You knew all the operators of any of the businesses, because it was almost like a mom-pop place, so that you knew these people. And it was easy to associate and get to know them and communicate and that kind of thing with. It was just like a small town, and everybody knew everybody, you know. And you knew your neighbors. You knew your neighbors 4 or 5 streets over. All the kids knew each other because you only had one school. So that you just got to know the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the difference now, that you don't really do this anymore. You know, everything is different. People are different. The market is different. So that it's kind of like getting to know people all over again, and getting to know how people think, and getting to figure out, you know, what I can do here, what I can do there, and that kind of thing.
Well, so relationships, what, you know, you've had relationships with people, you mentioned, since
Since you were a teenager, what relationships can you talk a little bit about? Well, friends that you've gone to school with, friends that you have met it socially, and you are still friends, and your school, a lot of the teachers you still know, a lot of the teachers that had kids, you know their kids, and so that you may not meet them socially a lot, but you know them. When you see them, you know, you can talk to them and remember this, remember that. Our relationships with some of the store owners that we purchase stuff from, and their children have taken over the stores, and so you know that. And then you can talk about old things. You remember this, you remember that. Hey, we went to this, we went to that. Relationship locally with friends, you know, you try to, you keep in touch. You keep in touch as much as you possibly can. And a lot of times you keep in touch even though they move away, and you are right, or when they come back to visit, you make sure that you get together and you get all the friends that you knew, and you have a party and you reminisce and those kinds of things. Even relationships with schools and teachers and things like that, you know, you still remember them. You have an association with them, and you kind of keep in touch. And that's basically a lot of the relationships that you've had as a child and as an adult. A lot of you work together. A lot of you do other things together. And so you kind of keep it going. And, you know, you can always say, hey, how are you? You know, where you been? Or if you know that somebody is ill or they've had a crisis in their family, you make sure you get in touch and say, you know, just drop off to say hello, or just drop the letter to say how you're doing and that kind of thing. And you keep that going. And, you know, you've had relationships all through your high school and adulthood, and still do, you know. Not as much as, you know, because we all are getting older, I hate to tell you. So we don't get around as much, but we recognize. And sometimes you'll just pick up the phone and say, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. You know, just to keep the communication open. And we do that a lot. Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, relationships. Do you have family who live in Hudson?
Only my daughter and her family. Okay. We're one of one. I was the only child, and my daughter's the only child. So we don't have much family. Our family is pretty much, that's it. And so my daughter, she lives here with her family, and that's basically my family.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about her and
Oh, well, yeah. My daughter has been, she's been here now for about 4 years. She works at the Hudson School System. She has two children, a girl and a boy, and she and her husband live up on Warren Street, and he's going to school right now, and she keeps busy. She works with a lot of the kids. She works with family. She also does a work in her church, and she works with a lot of the seniors of the church because she likes to keep in touch, and you know, she makes sure they're okay and they do this and make sure that they keep in touch with her. And she keeps herself busy. She goes to Albany a lot. She has lots of friends in Albany because she went to school in Hudson too. Yes, she went to school in Hudson, and so a lot of her friends are still here too. And then after she graduated from high school, she went to Albany, and she went to school at Albany Business College, and then she decided that she wanted to move to Atlanta. So she moved to Atlanta, and she was in Atlanta for about 10 years or so, and she worked there, all different kinds of jobs, and she liked it, but it got kind of a little too busy for her. So then she decided she was just going to come back and visit for a while, and then I guess she fell into the old pattern of Hudson being Hudson, and they've been here for a while. She went to school, and she got her master's degree in early childhood. And so right now she's busy locally with the Hudson School System, and she enjoys it. And as I said, she went to school here, and she has lots of friends here, and did the same kind of thing we did at school, you know, when we were young. Hudson hadn't changed that much, but she enjoys it, I think. And that's my family.
you mentioned that she is involved in the schools. What are your feelings about the education, you know, in Hudson?
I think it's okay. I think the school system as a whole has great challenges. And I'm not sure that the school system as a whole really knows how to deal with a lot of the challenges that they have, but they are improving. They're doing better. It's a lot of challenge, and there's just so many components that the school system has to work with, and I don't think they have the money to do a lot of stuff that needs to be done that would help the system as a whole. I think the school has been able to do a lot of individual things, which is good. But on the whole, it's just overwhelming. That's just my feeling, that the whole system is overwhelming, and I think that there just needs to be a study to kind of improve a lot of things that has not been tackled yet, so that I think more and more they are becoming aware of some of the challenges that need to be addressed, and find different ways of handling different problems with certain kids and their abilities, and the kids who don't have the abilities, and to be able to work with families, and families work with the school system. That's very important, because you two have to work together. It can't be a one-sided thing. And so I think that a lot of work and study needs to go into that component of learning because it's very, very hard. I mean, you know, the kids have a lot of things to address, and a lot of kids don't have it at home. So it goes to the school system, and there's just so many hours in the day. There's just so many hours in the day, and there's just so much time in the day, and they're just, you know, this, the need is kind of great. That's basically the way I feel. And on the other hand, they just do a lot, and they do great things, but there's a lot of problems that need to be addressed. And as I said, you know, there's just so much time you can do it, and it's not. And I think that's overall, not particularly to Hudson itself. I think it's overall a lot of things need to be changed. And I don't know the answer. Have no idea. You know, it's just overwhelming, mind-boggling to some of the things that need to be done. If you go in the school system and you just stop and watch and see and you think, oh my goodness, this, this, and this. But yeah, but how do you solve it, you know? So that I don't know. It's just mind-boggling, and it just takes time, I guess, to be able to address some of the problems that need to be addressed and be able to work together. And that's another important thing. You have to be able to work together. And I know it can be tiring for on the teacher's part, and it can be tiring on parents' part, because everybody's under a lot of stress. Stress is the main problem in a lot of our lives, is stress and this kind of thing. And so you got all these combinations, and that just makes it a little difficult for in the school systems, I think. That's just my point of view. That's it.
Well, you've been involved in education yourself, so tell me a little bit about this place and your work here and so
on. Well, we started the daycare, and the daycare was started by the YMCA, YWCA, and we had some citizens who felt, especially in at the Y, who felt that there was a need for a daycare center, because there were parents who wanted to, single parents personally, who wanted to go to work or wanted to be educated, and they had no place to leave their children. And so this committee got together, and they worked to open the daycare center, and they did. And they officially opened in July of 1969. We started out at the Presbyterian Church, which is on the corner of 4th and Warren Street. And we were down there for 4 years. And then Urban Renewal was in this area, renovating the local area down here. And they had this building, and it was really going to be used for a youth recreation center, which was for older children. And was also for Office of the Aging. And the Youth Recreation Center had, at that time, fallen apart. And so that we were offered the space, because we, at the church, they didn't have a sprinkling system for fires and that kind of thing, and we needed that. And so we came to this building, and 73, and we started out with about 8 kids, 3-year-olds, and we've gone from 8 to 52, and now we serve ages from 0 to 5 years old. And locally, we've had about 4 or 5 different, we've had about 7, we have, presently now we have about 16 staffers, and we've been here all these many years, and we have been part of this community, and you know, we've utilized most of all the agencies in this area. And as I said, we take children who we've known from parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and everything. And we take children from every place. We take children from Dutchess County, Columbia County, and Catskill, Albany. A lot of the parents who work in locally here come from Albany or Poughkeepsie, any of those places. So we take children from all over. And in the last few years, we've had quite a migrant population, because we do have a large migrant population in Columbia County. Mm-hmm. And so that we have some migrant children, and we have them locally, and then we have some who come up on the different seasons, you know, from maybe May through October. When they stay, and after October, they go back down to Florida or Texas or wherever they're from. And so they we have them for our summer program. We've had a lot of the children have been with us from 0 to 5 years old. They stay with us at least 3 or 4 years, and they come to us as maybe 6 weeks or older. And we've had, I don't know how many kids, families. We've had 3 and 4 different generations of families, and we've just had a great time. You know, we've had a wonderful program. We feel very proud of our program, and I think we've done a good service to Columbia County and the city of Hudson, and that's our program.
Now, could you talk a little bit about how you organize it? What are the kinds of options you have for the children and the parents and so on, you know?
Well, basically what we do is the children, we put them, whatever their age group and their abilities, we put them in that particular group, and we have an educational program, and we try to get the kids ready for their next group. If they're infants, you know, we do all the infant things with them to strengthen their bodies and to make sure they have their shots and things that they needed to have the nutrition, because we serve meals here at the center. We have a cook who does the meals, and so that the children, when they come in, they have breakfast, and usually we start about 6:30 in the morning, and we close at 5, and so the children have breakfast, and then they have, some of them have snack in between, and then they have lunch, and then they have a nap time, and then they have another snack in between, because they usually get up between 2:30 and maybe 2 or 2:30, depends. Some sleep, some don't sleep. And if they are here till 5, we usually give them another slack, because by 5 o'clock they're hungry again since after 2:30, you know. We do a program, an educational program for our 4-year-olds and our preschoolers, so that they're ready when they get into kindergarten. They will know the basics that the school system demands that they have. And the children who have special needs, we work with them. All staff has have at least 30 hours of staff training. We get them through our cooperative extension. We get them through the child care council. We get them through different child care planning programs, so that every staff has to be trained. And we follow the New York State Office of Children and Family Services guidelines, and we are licensed by the Office of Children and Family Services guidelines, and so that we're up to par in everything that we do. We have loads of the kids do all kinds of things. You know, they do all kinds of training. They go to, we try to introduce them to everything in the community. A lot of their learning is just done with hands-on. You know, they do the artwork. They do a study. They do different projects. They do a study on trees, and then what is a tree? What makes a tree? What does a tree do? And then they collect things from the trees. They understand about the roots and the leaves and how they grow. All kinds. We do in-depth learning so that they understand, you know, what they're talking about. We also work with them with their letters, and we do math concepts, and they do different kinds of materials and what do you use them for. And this goes on. We start that even that with the preschoolers. They're ready to go to kindergarten, so they know all of this. But then you have the three-year-olds. They're coming up to this. And we do a lot of language. We also work with some of the agencies who come in and work with children with language and speech. And we also try to, if we have find families or children who need special needs and need certain things, we work through the Department of Social Services and the Health Department or all those different agencies to get these things for the children that they need so that when they leave us, they are well prepared to go into the school system. We work with families when they have crisis. We work with families if they just need you to just hold, you know, help them do whatever needs to be done, to give them advice, to work with agencies to help them do certain things. Because a lot of our families are single parent. Some of them are just maybe one parent family. You have maybe have two parent family. Maybe you have a family that has three or four children. And so you work with the whole family and just the one mother or the one father, that kind of thing. And whatever is available to us and whatever their needs are and we can help them, you know, we do that. And that's our program. So that's keeps us busy. Yeah. And that's the Hudson Daycare Center.
And you've been the head of it for a long time?
Yes, I've been working since 69, and I became the director in 1974, but I'm ready to retire now.
Do you have plans for retirement? What are your ideas about that?
Just to retire and don't have to get up at 6:30 in the morning. You know, just going to enjoy just volunteering, because I volunteer sometimes. I volunteer at the second show. That's a thrift shop on Warren Street. Hmm. Yeah, and I volunteer there, and at some point I used to be treasurer of the NAACP when it was functioning, and I volunteered some of the church work, and then, you know, I volunteer when everybody needs me. That keeps me busy. And that's my life. That's my story.
Well, I still have, I know, you have talked about the nursery school and your family and, you know, other things. I was wondering if you could talk to me about what your typical day is, you know, getting up at 6:30 or whatever it is. What's your typical day?
Well, my typical day now, I have downsized a little bit, so I don't work quite as long. But my typical day would be getting here at 6:30, because I used to be the early person. So getting here at 6:30, making sure that the children get their breakfast about 7:45. And after quarter to eight, you know, you do your regular routine. They have to go to the bathroom and wash their hands and get ready for whatever project they're going to do for the day. You get that ready. And usually I'm back and forth in the office because at that time I'm still the director. So I work in the office with the attendants and make sure that all the families are here. And if somebody's missing, call to find out what had happened. Are they okay? And after that, usually I will go outside with them because usually it's time to go outside, which is about 10 o'clock. And see if they're going to go to the park or see if they're going to be in the backyard and play, because the younger guys usually play in the backyard. The older guys usually go to the park or they go for a walk. And after that, I come back in the office and I work with whatever I need to do at that particular time. By 11:30, they're back inside and stop to see if everything is okay and everybody's in their proper place. Take phone calls if necessary. Go to a meeting, because usually there's always, you have United Way meetings, you have different agency meetings, so whatever is planned, I do that. And usually after that, that's lunchtime. So you come in and you sit with the children, and if you need to share a meal, then you share a meal. Especially if they say, well, I don't like that vegetable. So you say to them, well, let's taste it and see what it tastes like. And then you go, isn't that good? You want to try it? And maybe you'll have a yes, and maybe you'll have no, and then we'll try again. And you have lunchtime, and after lunchtime, the children usually put all their plates and things away because they know where to do it. You know, we teach them to be hands-on, to put things away, to use spoon, use napkins, you know, all those kinds of things. And then they're ready to go back to the bathroom and wash their hands and use the toilet. And we get ready for rest. Some children rest, some children don't. So that's another time that you need to sit with them. And I encourage them to take a rest, or if not, you read a story to them. And after they get settled, then I'm back in the office to do whatever I need to be to do. And rest time is only about an hour and a half. And so when they get up, usually I'm there to say, you know, yeah, hi, you're awake. Sometimes parents come in because they need help, and if there's a crisis, you're always there to help with the crisis, to make phone calls, to work out whatever the problem is. And after that, it's usually we'll sit down with them and say, you know, it's almost time to go home, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And you do, and you read a story, or you say goodbye to them. Sometimes they get kind of nervous if the parents aren't there when, because kids have an intuition of when time, you know, when mom should be here or dad should be there. And they kind of know when it's not that time, you know, or if it's time is past, and they get kind of, so you have to encourage them. Sometimes you have to call parents and find out what the problem is, you know, why they're late, or they'll call and say, you know, there's an emergency for this happening or that happening. And, you know, you just handle it. And there have been times that we've had to wait, you know, hour, 2 hours, something has happened and parents couldn't get it. And so you just wait. I mean, you always have those crises, you know, or those emergencies, those kind of things. So that's a typical day. And then you start the next day the same.
You mentioned that you go to meetings. I assume, what kinds of organizations?
Well, we work with agencies that work with children and or families. And so there's a lot of, and there's a child care council, and there's, we used to have a child abuse council. There's the United Way, who does all kinds of things with funding. There is places we go to learn how to write grants for funding. There's all kinds. There's meetings that you go to get new ideas of working with children. You get new ideas of upgrading of guidelines for children. There's just lots of things that you do. You work with other daycare centers to find out what's going on in their center, and did they have this particular problem, that. So you meet and you'll kind of always get new ideas from them. Hopefully they get some from you, and you visit other nursery schools or daycare centers to look at their program and see what upgrades that they have, and they do the same with you. So there's always things to do. Yep, there we are. Mm-hmm.
And you are continuously looking at the curriculum.
Yes.
Probably, huh?
Yes.
Do you get any training, or do you just read, or
well, you get training. You get, as I said, you have to put in 30 hours. Yes.
For you too.
Oh yes. Oh yes. 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 Yeah, you get training. You can read up on it. That we have a couple of psychologists will come in and work with us and work with staff, so that we are kind of aware of handling certain problems that we find difficult with some of the children, you know. And we've been lucky that the local mental health department has worked with us for a while to help us working with children whom we feel need special help. And we haven't been able to do it on our own, but as an organization, we can do that. So those are the things that you do, mm-hmm. you know.
Are there other daycare centers in Hudson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's about four or five. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and then you have your Head Start, and then you have your preschool program, and then you have the family daycares. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got quite a few.
Are the family daycares also licensed?
Yes. Oh, yes. They have to be licensed. Yes. They don't take as many children, I think, as a regular daycare. They only can take like four or five. But we have quite a few. Because you see, a lot of our families work. Most of their work is part-time. And most of their work is done on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, which we're not open. Some of them are at night, and we're not open, you know, 7 to 11, that kind of stuff. And so that a lot of family daycares take up that particular space, and on weekends, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a regular daycare, so it's just 5 days a week, you know.
You also mentioned you made sure that they get vaccinations.
Oh, yeah, they have to.
What kind of overseeing do you do in terms of health and so on?
Well, there's a guideline that we have to follow for their health component. And they have to have all their shots in. We have to check them like every 3 months to make sure they're up to date. They also have to have physicals. And usually if we suspect that, you know, they have a rash or something like that that parents sometimes don't see, we recommend that mom takes them to the doctor, call the doctor, and see what the problem is. But on a regular basis, we do, because we have you have your health component that tells you that this needs to be done. They have to have this shot, and they also have to have their weight and all that stuff. So most of the pediatricians we have contact with, and if we need to say, hey, you know, Billy needs this, can you get him in? Because parents forget sometimes. And they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, well, tell mom to bring them in at a certain time, and they can get it done. So that's, yeah. And then, of course, we work with the nutritionist who comes in, looks over our menus, and makes suggestions for a snack, and makes sure that they get the right amount of whatever every day, fruits, vegetables, meat, grains, milk, juice, and that. And we try to give them a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and things that they like. Yeah.
The funding for this, how do you...
Well, our funding is usually comes from the three sources. We have the Agora, which service the migrant children. They pay tuition for them. We have the local DSS who pays tuition and family portions to the family pay partial, and DS pays the other partial. We do scholarships. Family pays partial, and the scholarship fund, that's one of the ways we raise our monies is through scholarship funding. We do that from grants. And then we have the emergency thing, usually, and DSS will pick that up. And then you have the regular fee payers who pays the total fee. That's how we get our funding. And a lot of our funding, as I said, comes from grants. We get grants from childcare, Children's Foundation, and we get one from First Niagara, and we get one from the United Way, and then we get from Rhinestrom, and then we get from Berkshire. And those mostly are our grant monies, mostly, and scholarships. That's very important, because a lot of parents can't pay the fee. So we try to scholarship as many and much as we possibly can with the funding that we have. And some of the other grants we use for equipment and supplies, and that refreshes all the furniture and all the materials that we need for our program. And that's where our funding comes from. We do fundraising. The family, the staff does fundraising every so often to do special things. We want to go to Catskill Game Farms between now and before September, I guess. And so now we're raising funds to do that, because we have to pay for transportation and also the fee to get into the, and it's going to be a family thing, so it would be the parents and the children. And we spend the day at the game farm, and we'll have lunch, and the kids will just have fun. And so we raise funds for that, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the end.
Good.
And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And so I would love just to open up and see if you want to add anything to what we've talked about?
Well, not really, except that, you know, I've enjoyed my life so far, all the things that I've done, and I've enjoyed the things that I have done. And I hopefully will continue to do as much as I possibly can, and I'm quite sure I will greet most of the kids and their families and my local friends in the city. And I've just had a wonderful time. Life has been good.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.